We're going to kick off this worship service with a great rendition of Great Is Thy Faithfulness by the wonderfully talented Jeffrey Golden.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Oh, great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Yes.
All I have needed, Your hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Oh, great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Oh, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Oh, great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, by morning, by morning, by morning, by morning, new mercies I see. All I,
thank you, Jesus,
have needed, oh God, all I have needed, Jehovah Jireh, all I have needed. hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh Lord, Lord, unto me. Oh, unto me.
Good morning and God bless you. Thank you for joining us to the ICS Live Facebook stream. After this message and after this service, there will be a Zoom prayer room open for anybody needing prayer. It would be our privilege to stand alongside you and pray with you. So if you need the login credentials, those have been sent out in the ICS email. But if you're following live and you don't have them, please message us on Facebook and we will send you the login details. This morning, we start in the first of a three-part series called Fearless and Free. The first message is called The Fear of Man, The Fear of People, The Fear of Other People's Expectations, The Fear of Other People's Opinions About Us, and How That Affects Our Lives. Have you ever thought about who you really are? And why you were born? Are we just physical beings here on earth to make a living and have a little pleasure in life and then we die? Well, I certainly hope not. Are we the people that God has called us to be? Are we living the abundant life our Lord Jesus Christ promised us? If others really got to know the real you, would they like you? These are the type of questions that we constantly or sometimes ask ourselves. Why do we fear other people's opinion? Why are we worried about what people think about us? Why so often do we feel vulnerable, exposed, or even naked? Have we been ensnared by the fear of other people's opinions? Have we been caught in this sinister trap? Let us look at Proverbs. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." The fear of what other people think about me, that is the snare. We all experience this fear at some time or other in our experience, but most of us don't want to admit how serious its tyranny can be. Let me be clear, this tyranny affects us all at some time within our experience. It is doesn't matter what color, creed, denomination, or people that we are. And we may even make statements like this, that I don't really care what other people think about me. In fact, I really couldn't care less. We may make blanket statements like that, but are they really true? Because we all want to be liked, don't we? Nobody likes confrontation. We're instructed to live at peace with each other, to do everything we can to live at peace with each other, right? The Hebrew word for snare in this Proverbs is a trap. The word actually means a trap that a hunter would lay for an animal or for a bird. No animal or person, for that matter, would knowingly walk into a trap. That's why traps are disguised. They're not what they seem. It is hidden, but once an animal is caught in that snare, in that trap, it's too late, and most often it is fatal. If it isn't fatal, the animal are usually maimed or crippled, and even in some cases they're known to chew off their limbs to free themselves from these traps. This is what happens to us, not that we chew through our limbs, but we become ensnared, we become crippled, we become restricted, we become maimed. And please do not underestimate the power once we are caught in this trap. Our circumstances can quickly spiral downwards. Are we caught in this trap? Are we ensnared by the fear of other people's opinions? What does it look like, and how would I know if I'd been ensnared? It could start out something like this. The people that we usually admire the most, the people that we look up to, it is usually those people that we seek affirmation and approval from. The fear of rejection. I think this type of fear is probably the most common amongst believers. We build walls around ourselves. We tend to put barriers up and tell ourselves it's for self-preservation and convince ourselves that it's for our good. And these could be legitimate barriers that we've put up through past hurts. But do we really allow the past hurts of our life to define us as God's people, as the children of God? By doing so, we give in to this, and we do actually allow these past hurts to define us, because we don't allow ourselves to be the people that Jesus Christ has called us to be. We perhaps hide behind a facade, a professional image that we put up. We may put a different mask on because we're fearful of what people think about us. If they really got to know us, that they wouldn't like us. But the danger with that lifestyle, if we do it long enough, we forget who we really are in Christ Jesus. We will not allow ourselves to be the person that God has called us to be because of the fear of how we will look in front of people. Ultimately, we're afraid of rejection and we're afraid of failure. And when we live and give in to these feelings, and when we yield to this yoke of slavery, we leave ourselves wide open for manipulation. Paul addressed this issue in the book of Galatians. Let us take a look. We're reading from Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. The Apostle Paul, he confronted Peter. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. This is Peter post-Pentecost. This is Peter that had been filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Peter that proclaimed the messages. This is Peter who healed people. His shadow fell on people. But this hypocrisy, this pressure from this certain people group affected Peter very negatively, and he conformed to their expectations instead of being transformed by the Word of God. Peter felt the need to conform, and that need in us to conform to other people's expectations is strong, especially in this day and age. But this fear is a tyrant. Let's have a look at its effects. We're reading from John chapter 12, verses 42 to 43. Yet at the same time, many amongst the leaders believed in him, that is Jesus Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Even Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and a leader amongst the Pharisees, didn't come to see Jesus in the daylight. He came to see him at night because he was ashamed to be seen with Jesus. God calls us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Do we, as Christians, love human praise more than we love God? I really don't think so. I think we're not ashamed of the gospel because we know it saves people. We know it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. The problem is often we don't know how to confront and how to overcome this situation. But if you stick with me, I will speak about the biblical solutions. But first of all, let us look at the consequences this tyranny can bring. When King Saul disobeyed God and he was confronted by the prophet Samuel, at first he didn't acknowledge his disobedience. He tried to justify his behavior. But after his attempts were thwarted by the prophet Samuel, he eventually confessed to his disobedience. And we're picking that up at 1 Samuel 15:24. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them." Isn't this a sad state of affairs? The Bible describes Saul as a man who was head and shoulders taller than other men. The Bible describes this man at approximate guess 6'4", as a handsome man, and God had made him king of all of Israel. So we have this picture of this handsome, good-looking, 6'4" king of Israel who was afraid of other people's opinion about himself. His constant need for recognition, his need for honor, his fear of criticism, and his fear of humiliation. Saul replied, "I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God." The consequences of fear of rejection ultimately leads to disobedience to God and self-deception. What a sad demise to this wonderful king's great potential. He only knew about God, but he didn't know him personally. The fear of man may not seem that dangerous at all, but if we fall into the same trap of King Saul, if we judge our self-worth by what other people think about us and not what God thinks about us, we will suffer the same low self-esteem that King Saul had, despite his physical appearance, despite that he was king over Israel. The fear of other people's opinion brought him low. We no longer become bold, but we become timid, which can lead to indecisiveness. We can second guess our best decision, which lead to more insecurity, We no longer ourselves and the person that God calls us to be. Our faith becomes unstable, and lastly, and most dangerously, like King Saul, it leads to disobedience. But the flip side of that proverb says, whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. We have to go back. We have to go back in time. If we go back to Genesis, when God created man, when Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God, they were alive two ways. They were physically alive and they were spiritually alive. And they had a fellowship with God, open fellowship with the living God. And that gave them significance. It brought them safety and security. And they were accepted. So these three things of the spiritual life made that they were significant. They were safe and secure in their identity in God. And they were accepted. I'd like to look at scripture from John, an often misquoted scripture, because often only verse 32 is quoted. But I'd like to read it in the context, reading verse 31 first. If you hold on to my teachings, Jesus said, then you will know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. Satan knows the truth, but he is not free. We may know the truth, but we may not be free. We may be bound up in the fear of man. But if Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, what does that mean? It means if we grab hold of it, if we adhere to it, if we apply it to our lives, if we stick to it, if we trust in it, and if we believe it, then we will know the truth, and that truth will set us free. It will set us free from the fear of other people's opinion. It will set us free to be the men and women God has called us to be. And we are accepted in Christ Jesus. We need to fully comprehend and know our identity in Christ Jesus. I am God's child. If you are a Christian, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you have trusted Him for your salvation, if you have made Him your Lord and Savior, this is who you are. This is our identity in Him, because God has restored what Satan stole from Adam and Eve. And therefore we can have this acceptance, we can have this security, we can have this safety, which brings us significance. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. That means it's just if I had never sinned through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I am justified. I am united with the Lord, and I am in one spirit with Him. I have been purchased at a price, and that is the blood of the everlasting covenant, and I belong to God. We are not our own. We have been purchased at a price, the blood of Jesus. Therefore, I am a member of Christ's body. Do you know you belong to Jesus Christ? Therefore, I am a saint. This is what the Bible describes us. A saint isn't somebody who has passed away. A saint isn't an icon on a wall. A child of God, the Bible tells us we are saints. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I belong to God. I have been redeemed and my sins have been forgiven. And I am complete in Him. Once we fully comprehend and understand our identity in Him, has nothing to do of what we do, but of what Christ has already done for us on the cross. We need to believe in it. We need to declare it. We need to place our trust in it. And by declaring the word of God, it nullifies the lies of the enemy. And it gives us our identity in Christ Jesus, which gives us the strength to not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed into the image of Christ, which God is doing to us day by day, week by week, year by year. So God bless you. Please tune in next week. We'll hear more about our identity in Christ and what that means to us as children of God. Just remember, we have a prayer time and Zoom room at the end of this meeting. Message us if you need the credentials. I'm going to hand over now to Brother Nick, who's going to close this service in prayer. So thank you, Nick, and thank you so much for following. Give us a like, leave us a comment. If you need prayer, you can do it through the website. You can join us in a Zoom room. You can message us. We would love to know and stand alongside you and encourage you and support you. So God bless you, and thank you, Nick. Goodbye, and God bless.
Thank you, Pastor Martin. Thank you for this message. Thank you for the word of God that you share with us in this morning. We live on this life here on the earth, and we want to have one goal. The goal that we have is to please God. The goal of our lives is to do the will of God. We should not live according to the fear of men. We should not live in a way that we are looking always to please the people, but we should live in our life in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. We can live in the freedom of grace, in the freedom of living our Christian faith with courage, with power, with hope, with anointing. May the Lord help each of us. I would like to pray together with you. So wherever you are, you can bow your head and you can pray with me. Father God, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have in this morning to hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of a new day that you have given to us today. I ask you, Lord, in this day to bless each of us, to may your blessing, Father, to be upon us, Lord. I ask you, Lord, in a special way to work in our hearts, Lord, and if we have every fear of men, if we have every fear in our hearts, Father, of different circumstances, if we have every fear that maybe we are not realizing that is inside of our hearts, we ask you, Lord, today to bring inside of us your freedom, the freedom of the Holy Spirit. We want, Father, today to be free in our living, Father. We want to live for your kingdom, and we thank you, Lord, because you send in our hearts your Holy Spirit, which is bringing inside of us the peace and the joy that is beyond every understanding, Lord. I ask you, Lord, for each member of the ICS and for everyone that is listening, have listened this message. I ask you, Lord, to bless them. I ask you, Lord, to fill them with the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to bring healing, Father, upon each of us, Father. We ask you, Lord, that if is anyone discouraged in this day, if is anyone without hope, I ask you, Lord, that you may give the hope. You may give the hope. You may give the grace. You may give the power to move forward, Lord. I ask you, Lord, in your mighty name, Jesus, to bless each of us, Father, with that courage that we have, Father, to step out in the middle of crisis and to step out and to bring the hope. Give to us, Father, the courage to go out and to spread your hope, to spread your love, to spread the words of the gospel, Lord. Do you want to spread your gospel, Lord? So we ask you, Lord, for each of us to fill our hearts with zeal for preaching the gospel in these times, Lord. You are the one that you are with us, Lord. You are the one that you love us, Lord. And we are here and we want to worship you, Lord. And we want to live in courage, in power, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to bless each of us, Father, with power, with grace, and to lead us in your will. And in your mighty name, Jesus, make us free from every fear, Lord. We don't want, Father, to be hidden Christians. We don't want, Father, to live in fear from anything, because you, Jesus, pay the price for our sins, that we can be free today from the sin, that we can live on this earth like sons and daughters. I ask you, Lord, in your mighty name, Jesus, fill our lives with the Holy Spirit and lead us every single day of our lives, that we can worship you and we can accomplish your will. Amen. God bless you all, and I wish for you a blessed week. And if it's something that I would like to encourage you, is that every single morning to start your day worshiping God, to start your day in the presence of the Word of God, and in the same time to start your day with a big expectation from the Lord. God wants to use you every single day, and God wants to use me every single day. So I encourage you to seek the Lord, to find your peace in the Word of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And every day that you are here, wherever you are, look for doing the will of God. God bless you all. Thank you so much.